Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the first press conference. We are honored to have here the Under Secretary of Defense, flanked by the NATO Deputy Secretary General. The Under Secretary for Defense will give opening remarks, followed by the remarks of the NATO Deputy Secretary General, and then we will open the floor for any question. Honorable.
Grazie, benvenuti a tutti, credo che eravate presenti agli interventi che abbiamo appena esposto io e il Vice Segretario, quindi vi ringrazio di essere presenti in questo momento importante che vede l'Italia protagonista in questa alleanza, in un momento dove non è un'esercitazione ma è anche un momento di verifica di cosa intendiamo fare, il ruolo che vogliamo mantenere, quindi credo che per noi italiani e per la NATO possiamo dire credo che è un momento che serve, programmato da tempo, quindi lascio poi a voi le domande, vi rinnovo il benvenuto, sapendo che inizia oggi un'attività abbastanza lunga che poi seguiremo in questi giorni e che si concluderà sicuramente con una ratifica di quelli che sono gli impegni che stiamo garantendo. Grazie.
Grazie. Ambassador, over to you.
Well, thank you very much, Undersecretary Alfano, once again for the warm welcome you've given to the delegation from Brussels. Thanks for your very kind hospitality. It's good to be here in Trapani for the opening of Trident Juncture 2015, which, as you've heard, is NATO's most ambitious exercise in over a decade. I'd like to stress at the outset that Italy is a strong ally, plays a leadership role in the alliance. Italy makes valuable contributions through its deployments in both Afghanistan and Kosovo, and of course it also gives important support to our maritime operations. So we're very grateful that such a strong ally is hosting Trident Juncture together with Spain and Portugal. The contributions Italy makes are very important at a challenging time for our security, and Italy is at the front line of those challenges, the ones we face to our south with the turmoil and extremism in the Middle East and North Africa, with Russia's continued destabilization of Ukraine and now its intervention in Syria. So, in response, NATO is enhancing its readiness and its flexibility, and exercises like Trident Juncture and the many others that we are conducting this year and in the future ensure that our forces stay fit and ready to meet any challenge. You've heard all the details. I won't go through the numbers. It is the biggest exercise in over a decade. It will certify next year's NATO Response Force headquarters and test the functions of our new very high readiness spearhead force ahead of its becoming fully operational next year. So this exercise will increase readiness, interoperability, and demonstrate that NATO is capable of responding to threats from any direction. Let me stress that everything that we do is defensive, it's proportionate, and it's in line with our international commitments. And it also demonstrates our commitment to transparency and predictability. We seek confrontation with no one, and that's why we've invited observers from around the world, including not just faraway countries like Colombia and Mexico, but Russia has been invited to be an observer to a later stage. So we're doing what's necessary to safeguard all allies against any threat. That's what NATO is all about, and I'm now ready to answer your questions.
Thank you, sir. I give the floor to Ansa first.
A ragioni logistiche o anche legata ai problemi che ci sono stati in Sardegna?
Si è diffusa questa voce, ma assolutamente non è così, in quanto è stata programmata da tempo, quindi quello che in parte in Sardegna sta succedendo è che da tempo si verifica un equilibrato rapporto fra una regione e l'esigenza delle forze armate di mantenersi pronte, quindi di poter svolgere delle esercitazioni. Rimane un fatto che il governo segue con attenzione, però sicuramente non è quello che poi ci ha fatto ripiegare, se vogliamo utilizzare un termine impegnativo, su Trapani. Questa è una sede importante, è un aeroporto militare, tra l'altro dato in servizio anche a quello civile, quindi nella programmazione di questa attività è stata subito indicata Trapani come sede naturale più idonea.
Give the floor to Reuters.
Hi, Robin Immant. Ambassador, how much of a concern is Russia's military build-up from the Baltics all the way now into the Eastern Mediterranean on NATO's ability to maneuver freely and its general freedom of movement? Thank you.
Well, you'll have the opportunity to pose that question to our senior military commanders as well, but I think that from the point of view of the policy-making community in Brussels, we're very concerned about the Russian military buildup. The increasing concentration of forces in Kaliningrad, in the Black Sea, and now in the Eastern Mediterranean does indeed pose some additional challenges that our planners are going to have to take seriously into account as we consider how to live up to the pledge that we've made to defend any ally against any threat. A lot of experts talk about the so-called anti-access area denial capability that Russia is developing, and this indeed will have to be a key factor as we decide what is necessary both to defend every ally and to deter Russia from even thinking about aggressive actions against NATO. So, the buildup in the Eastern Mediterranean adds an additional dimension, but this is a problem we've recognized for some time, and it will be, I think, taken into account as we develop an effective modern deterrence strategy for the 21st century in time for our Warsaw summit next July.
We go to Corriere della Sera.
Mr. Ambassador, since you say that we are very concerned about Russia military build-up in the Eastern Mediterranean, why is it so difficult to acknowledge that the implicit enemy of this exercise is Russia? And the second question is, how do we assess the Islamic terrorism threat in the Mediterranean in terms of priority in comparison to Russia? Thank you.
Well, I don't think it's correct to say that the real adversary in this exercise is Russia. This is it's a fictitious adversary set in a region well to the south of Europe. In I think the countries we're dealing with have been superimposed on the map of Africa. That's not to say that some of the challenges that we're addressing and testing our forces against in this exercise are not analogous to some of the challenges we will face. We would face if we were to have a conflict with Russia. It includes the anti-access area denial. It includes some of the hybrid threats that we saw practiced in the illegal annexation of Crimea. But this is a non-Article 5 exercise. It deals with a UN Security Council mandated operation far afield from our direct borders. So. I wouldn't draw the conclusions that you've drawn about the real adversary. As for the Eastern Mediterranean, as far as the Islamist threat is concerned, we don't rank order the threats. I think the allies, as they look at the strategic landscape that we've been seeing now as in sharp relief for the last 2 years, recognize that we face very fundamental challenges to the east and to the south. They're different. They may call for different kinds of responses, but we need to be prepared to respond wherever the threat may arise. Clearly, the problems of failing states that are creating the openings for extremist groups like ISIL to increase their influence or to set up new beachheads, as they are trying to do in Libya, may call for different tools than dealing with the collective defense challenges to our east. But we need to have strong, capable, flexible, agile, rapidly deployable forces to deal with any contingency, and that's what this exercise will demonstrate, that we have those capabilities and we're putting them to the test in very realistic conditions.
The lady in the on the third row, just wait for the mic, please.
Marinella Correggia, investigative journalist. You speak about combating terrorism, and you mentioned Libya as a failed state helping the spread of terrorism. But it was the NATO intervention in Libya in 2011, beyond the Security Council resolution, which made Libya as a failed state and which helped spreading the terrorism, not only in North Africa, in Middle East. And then in Afghanistan, NATO hit recently a hospital of Doctors Without Borders for half an hour. And NATO countries all the time make direct and indirect proxy wars, helping terrorism everywhere. So why, in spite of this record, tragic record, NATO never get criminal prosecution and just pays pittance to the victims in spite of destroying countries, civil infrastructures, and making these failed states and helping terrorism?
You've raised about 55 different issues, and I disagree with you on just about all of them. But first of all, with respect to Libya, I'll answer the question. If you want to listen, you're free to do so. First of all, the mission in Libya was in accordance with the UN Security Council resolution. We did not go beyond that resolution. And I still believe, as do members of NATO, that we acted with full justification to prevent massacres of civilian population of Libya. Now the question is, what happened after NATO's operation was finished? There, I think allied leaders would be the first to admit that we perhaps should not have assumed that the Libyans could establish a stable and functioning democratic state without more external assistance. I think NATO at least shares responsibility, but it was, I think, a collective misjudgment by the international community. But we do have to deal with the here and now. We're hoping that a political settlement based on a national unity government can be reached very soon. And the international community then will have to consider how it can support the new government so that we don't see any further unraveling in Libya. I think on the highly unfortunate and tragic attack on the Médecins Sans Frontières hospital, our commanders and our senior political leadership have spoken, deeply regret that. It's being thoroughly investigated both by the NATO command in Kabul, by the United States on its own, and there's an Afghan investigation, and we want to bring out all the facts so that this sort of tragic mistake doesn't happen again.
Thank you very much. This concludes the first press conference. There will be a follow-up press conference with the chairman of the NATO Military Committee, the Italian Chief of Defense, the Supreme Allied Commander in Europe, and the Supreme Allied Commander for Transformation. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a few minutes to arrange the table for the conference. And as was mentioned before, that we will have the top NATO leaders, commanders, and the Italian Chief of Defense. Just a few minutes.
if I have question in Italian, yes.
English?
Yeah.
We will start in a few minutes. The conference will start with some opening statement from the four military leaders. The first one will be the Italian Chief of Defense, General Claudio Graziano. Please, sir, the floor is yours.
Authorities, generals, admirals, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great pleasure to bring you all the greeting of the Italian Armed Forces here in Trapani. We are particularly keen to be one of the hosting nations for the exercise Trident Young Tour 2015. And first, here today, allow me to thank the local institution and the citizen of Trapani for the long-lasting relation that bonds the town with this military base, I would say, with all the military reality here in Sicily. And through the mayor of this city and the mayors of the similar cities, I am particularly grateful for being here today. I would like to thank for the hospitality and to reassure all the people residing in the exercise areas that every effort will be made, as usual, actually, to minimize any sort of impact of the daily lives of their communities. In the meantime, to make possible this exercise to accomplish all the aims, the important aims it's pursuing. A special thanks to the media operators for their interest in NATO effort to remain relevant in facing modern challenges to the stability of the Euro-Atlantic region. And of course, let me praise General Domroz, the Joint Force Commander Brunsum, and the Joint Force Commander staff for their engagement in making this training even another event, another success. As you know, Trident Young Tour is at the top of NATO training for readiness of its components in responding to crisis scenarios on a large scale. And the training is a very important, to train is a very important. Train means also deterrent, and in this particular moment, it's very important. And I would like to reinforce here how Italy has always been supportive of the NATO Responsive Force concept, through which we have significantly enhanced the interoperability and preparedness of our forces. And this is also a good place to develop the concept of very high readiness forces. And the current global scenario is affected by wide-reaching domino effects caused by convergence of many destabilizing factors. And just an example is the spreading of the new geographic terrorism. And in addition, we are facing contingencies that increasingly constrain our military budget in a period when countries in other regions are boosting their defense expenditures. So again, this one is an important exercise to increase connective defense, the way of committing better our money is also important because we had the certification of different headquarters, the NRF-16, and the deployed JFAC, based in Poggio Renatico, deployable everywhere. That is, I think, is a very important and successful moment because this kind of headquarters, of deployable headquarters, is going to be very significant in any kind of deployment to ensure security around the theaters. And I also strongly believe that the more focused commitment on the southern flank, this one is of course a training for all NATO, but in this moment the training, the focus on southern flank is needful. And time has come for NATO to encompass in a comprehensive strategic policy, plan the ongoing issue in Eastern Europe with the alliance southern flank, thereby considering its wider implication with the crisis such as we are having now in Sahel, Middle East, Libya, and several other interconnected areas. Fact proves that we cannot manage as an isolated phenomenon what happened in the Mediterranean, as well in Ukraine, Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Horn of Africa, just to name some of the hot spots in our neighborhood. To conclude, let me stress that we need a systematic approach aimed at dealing effectively with crises such as the numerous crises that are now affecting the area, as I said already, where, and with the threat posed by the advance of terrorism and organized crime in different areas. Let's then continue doing our best to increase interoperability among our forces for the overall effectiveness of the alliance. Thank you very much.
And now we'll take the floor, the chairman of the NATO Military Committee, General Pavel, please, sir.
Thank you, General Graziano, ladies and gentlemen. As I have spoken only a couple of minutes ago, I will keep my remarks brief and then hand over the floor to strategic commanders, General Breedlove, strategic commander Europe, and General Mercier, strategic commander transformation. As a chairman of the NATO Military Committee and a soldier who has taken part in many national and multinational exercises throughout my career, I want to acknowledge the effort of all the personnel taking part in today's Distinguished Visitors' Days and also the entire Trident Juncture 15 exercise. General Graziano, Claudio, let me extend my gratitude to you as the representative of the host nation. The national forces of the Alliance members are all trained to a high standard. Many of the troops you will meet today have exercised, trained, and fought together over a number of years. However, the world is ever-changing, new threats are emerging, and therefore NATO is constantly adapting. As it adapts, NATO nations want to ensure that their troops are able to respond. And so we educate, exercise, practice, and train alongside each other, so if needed, NATO is able to respond to any threat from any direction. On a more technical note, and being in Trapani, it is quite natural that the assets on display today are predominantly from air domain, with aircraft being provided by 18 NATO allies and three NATO partners, partner nations. These air assets will be used in support of land, maritime, and special operation forces. Personal recovery and search and rescue missions are also scheduled. With this, let me hand over to Sakir. Phil, the floor is yours.
General Bredo, please.
Thank you, Peter, and good afternoon again to all of you. Thank you for taking the opportunity to come out and see a tremendous display of NATO capability. The Alliance is well aware of the changing world and security situation, and so we have taken a number of steps under our Readiness Action Plan to respond to those challenges we see in the North, the East, and the South. As a result, NATO allies are implementing the most comprehensive reinforcement of our collective defense since the end of the Cold War. Our Very High Readiness Joint Task Force, or VJTF, coupled with a more ready and responsive NRF, and facilitated by our NATO force integration units, send a very clear message to any potential aggressor. Any attempt to violate the sovereignty of one NATO nation will result in a decisive military engagement with all 28 allied nations. Today's activities demonstrate just one part of Trident Juncture 2015, where more than 30 nations and about 36,000 troops are participating, demonstrating that we can deploy high readiness forces from across the Alliance in a matter of days. These multinational forces from air, land, sea, and special operations are highly interoperable and have proven capable of conducting complex military maneuvers across the full spectrum of operations. Our focus in NATO is that our measures remain defensive, proportional, and appropriate. But what we also make clear is that NATO's commitment to collective defense is rock solid. With that, I'll turn it over to my fellow commander, the SACT, Denny.
Thank you very much, Philippe, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And in order to be complimentary, I will bring some Allied Command Transformation perspective in the shift that we have initiated to better adapt our approach to training and exercises. In fact, we have a big shift in this approach, which is threefold. The first one is we continuously increase the quality and the realism of our exercises. And for that, we have integrated and in a very flexible way. So that means that even came with the after the initial planning of the exercise, we have continuously integrated new threats. So we have integrated in this exercise, for instance, cyber threats, ballistic missile defense, hybrid threats. And it was very ambitious then, a very ambitious exercise in scale, but it was very ambitious in expectations as well. And after the debriefing of the first phase with the commander of the Joint Force Command, Brunsum, and the component commanders, I saw that this ambition gave even more enthusiasm to all the participants. And it was a great thing. That shows to me that the more ambitious we are, the more enthusiastic are the players, which means that the realism of the exercise was here. And as Philippe mentioned, we have evaluated our readiness and responsiveness. Second shift is partnership and experimentation. We have an improved number of partners participating in this exercise. International organization, European Union, for instance, a number of non-governmental organizations, and also we have a strong participation of the industry. We have 39 companies who, since the beginning of the planning phase, have sent observers in order to better understand our requirement. And with this understanding of our requirements, we hope that finally they will better come with innovative solutions in the future. And the third shift, this is the implementation across all our transformational initiatives from the higher headquarters down to the tactical unit and to the tactical level. So we will continue to use the exercises like this. So as you can see, this is more than exercise. And this is more than, this exercise is more than an enabler of our capability. This is a demonstration of our credibility to operate as an alliance and to face any kind of challenges in the future.
Ladies and gentlemen, now we will have a question and answer section. Please, those who want to put an answer to the commanders here, raise your hand, qualify yourself and the media you're working for, and we will present you the microphone.
Hi, Sam Jones, Financial Times. This is a question for General Breedlove. The Deputy Secretary General earlier mentioned the Russians building up in Crimea, then in Kaliningrad, and now obviously in Syria. Does NATO, what form would the NATO's modern deterrence to Russian aggression take next? Obviously, it hasn't stopped them so far. Does NATO need to consider its own A2 AD kind of operations in the Mediterranean? Obviously, there's already very significant forces deployed here, and that hasn't done anything to stop Moscow. So what form should deterrence take in the future?
So it's an excellent question. We have, since the Russian invasion of Crimea, worked on assuring our allies and assuring the nations. And now we look at how does that assurance lend itself to deterrence. And broadly, deterrence, as it relates to NATO nations, is working, but we're not sure exactly what it will take to work in the future, and this is a question that we're working on every day. The places that you mentioned are obviously not in NATO countries, but border NATO countries, and so we need to be very aware of what's going on and be able to address that. The A2AD, anti-access area denial, that was questioned about earlier, this is a problem that we are addressing in our alliance and looking at those capabilities and capacities that we need to either enhance or develop to better be able to address these growing concerns that we see in all the areas that you mentioned. And it is a collaborative process that starts in Brussels with the requirements that I put on the table, and then SACTI and Didi Mercier and his team build those capability packages that we ask the nations to address. So it's something that all of our NATO command and commanders are focused on.
Let sure. me add one comment to your question. And it's that all the A2AD capability is not offensive or aggressive in nature. It's principally a defensive measure. So we have to consider it, we have to be aware of it, we have to include it in our planning, but it's not the threat as such.
Second question.
Grazie. Una domanda per il generale Graziano, Grignetti della Stampa. Generale, nel caso si arrivasse a una missione in Libia, come si pensa, secondo le vostre valutazioni, che situazione militare trovereste? Ovvero sia una situazione afghana, irachena, dove un esercito nazionale non esiste più e va ricostruito di sana pianta? Perché ovviamente questo, come dire, cambierebbe le prospettive del tipo di intervento.
Adesso in particolare questa esercitazione è concepita per preparare le forze della NATO per qualsiasi evenienza. Adesso in generale il compito di qualsiasi missione di sicurezza è quello di garantire la ricostruzione, la sicurezza, l'assistenza, e quindi il ruolo fondamentale è quello della ricostruzione della capacità delle forze di sicurezza. Così è in Afghanistan preparando le forze afghane, così è in Libano, così è in moltissimi paesi. Probabilmente dopo la fine delle attività NATO in Libia non è stato possibile sviluppare questa capacità, e sicuramente quando verrà deciso, quando verrà pensato e se sarà decisa una missione di qualsiasi tipo di supporto in quell'area, sicuramente lo scopo principale dal punto di vista militare sarà quella proprio della ricostruzione della capacità delle forze di operare e garantire la propria sicurezza. Qui in Italia avevamo già addestrato alcuni un anno fa, due anni fa, delle forze libiche anche efficienti, che poi rientrando, non essendo in un contesto di sicurezza, non hanno potuto operare. Sicuramente la sicurezza deve essere garantita dalle forze locali, e quello che è il compito di questa di generale delle missioni è di creare questa capacità. Questo senza entrare nello specifico, evidentemente, di una missione in Libia, che la cui definizione compete completamente all'autorità politica.
Any other question? Please.
Pat Carty, UK Defence Press Agency. Do you expect or have you noticed any additional air or sea assets taken an interest in joint Trident Juncture?
I think we're all shaking our head no at this point, so I'm not aware of any, and I don't think any of the rest of us are.
Any other question? We have a few minutes. Please.
Difesa. Il collega ha fatto una domanda sulla Libia, io invece la faccio sull'Afghanistan, visto che il presidente Renzi ha detto che le truppe italiane resteranno in Afghanistan per un altro anno. È vero che non fa parte, diciamo, di questa esercitazione, però come NATO, come voglio dire, la domanda la sto facendo a voi che siete alti responsabili della NATO, ne avete già parlato, ne parlerete, e se sì, quali soluzioni potrebbero essere trovate appunto per restare in Afghanistan, se sì o se no? Grazie.
Beh, per l'appunto l'autorità politica si è pronunciata che sta valutando questo elemento. Evidentemente in Afghanistan continua la missione internazionale, che adesso si chiama Resolute Support, di supporto alle forze afghane. Questo è il concetto. In questo momento le forze afghane sono in lead, sono quelle che garantiscono la sicurezza, che operano per creare le condizioni, e le nostre forze sono a supporto delle forze afghane. L'Italia sta operando come leading nation nell'area di Herat, come regional support headquarter. Evidentemente si tratta di una mission che è chiamata condition based, cioè basata sulle condizioni sul terreno. Attualmente vi è stata avanzata la decisione degli Stati Uniti di permanere più a lungo, e la richiesta quindi agli alleati e all'Italia di considerare. Questa valutazione sta avvenendo a livello politico, e a livello militare evidentemente noi saremo in condizioni di seguire questa decisione, qualunque essa sia, continuando a operare con la professionalità che abbiamo avuto, con la capacità che abbiamo avuto, perché è fondamentale che le forze afghane siano messe in condizioni di svolgere la loro opera, e noi dobbiamo garantirgli il supporto e dargli anche la forza di procedere in un momento in cui evidentemente molte crisi intorno rendono la situazione più complessa.
Thank you for your participation. The press conference is over.